Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to this bonus episode of Out with Susie Ruffle. Hello. This is a shorter episode that I wanted to share because yesterday I had the joy of interviewing Jules Cunningham, who is a choreographer and dancer. And I had the pleasure of sitting in and watching a performance, well, not a performance, a rehearsal of some work that they're currently creating at the Sadler's Wells Theatre. And it was really exciting to go and watch a choreographer working in the moment. Mel C from the Spice Girls is in the company for this performance. And if you've seen my stand-up show, you will know that that might mean something to me because I love Mel C. It was very exciting. I said hello to her. I didn't embarrass myself, which you'll all be pleased to hear. I got in touch with Jules because I really wanted to speak to them about the work that they create. And I thought maybe the best way of telling you a little bit about them is just to sort of read the blurb of the show, because part of the reason I wanted to put this episode out early, or rather between two series, was because I really wanted to let you guys know about it and know that it's happening, because I feel like it might be something that, I'm sure it's something actually, that loads of the out gang will like. So let me read you a little bit of the blurb, and I think you'll agree with me that it sounds really exciting. An intimate evening of dance featuring renowned choreographer Jules Cunningham, Spice Girl Melanie C, and award-winning dancer Harry Alexander. Internationally renowned dancer and choreographer Jules Cunningham premieres their latest Sadler's Wells commission in collaboration with and starring Mel C and award-winning dancer Harry Alexander. Set in the round with some seating on the stage, join us for an intimate evening of dance. What do we hold in our bodies? The fullness of our experience is alive and present in every moment. We feel our power all the way to the edges of ourselves, the loneliness of living and never being fully understood, the chaos that lives within and around us, the longing in our hearts, the unexpected happenings at the edges of our lives, our memories and the inrush of the future, the voices of those near us and those far away. How did we get here? I loved watching the rehearsal yesterday. It felt very, very exciting to be in a room with such talented people. It was brilliant. And then I loved chatting to Jules. We had such a great chat about their work, about their journey through dance, their journey from ballet to contemporary, their journey in their identity, and how they see themselves in the world and what dancing means to them and how that's helped their journey. And yeah, I just wanted to put this episode out early because I feel like loads of you might be interested, and I really hope that loads of you go down and watch it. Now, I very, very kindly, Jules and the Sadler's Wells team have offered a couple of tickets to a listener of Out to have a couple of free tickets to come along to the show. So if you would like to come, please get in touch with me. Use the email that we use for Out. So it's hello@outwithsusieruffle.com, and I will organise that. We've just got one set of tickets, so to be honest, it's going to be the first person that gets in touch with me. But have a look on sadlerswells.com if you're interested in going along to the show. There's a little trailer as well, and you can look up the work that Jules is doing. They are really interesting and really brilliant and really, really funny. We had a lovely chat, and I'm going to share that with you now. Well, listeners, this is a little bonus episode, which I'm very excited to share with you. I'm in conversation today with Jules Cunningham, who is a choreographer and dancer. And I've just been enormously lucky that I have got to go into a rehearsal room in Sadler's Wells and watch their upcoming piece, How Did We Get Here, that will be on here in the new year. And I just absolutely loved it. I found it fascinating watching proper dancers, proper real dancers in a rehearsal studio working through stuff. And then there was a bit where they put the music on and I got to watch like it feel like it was a real performance piece. It felt very, very exciting. And I'm very excited that I've got tickets in the new year. I'm going to recommend at the end of the show that you get tickets too. As a dancer, they have worked with some of the most celebrated choreographers of the 20th century, including Merce Cunningham and Michael Clark, and now are creating their own experimental work, often examining gender and identity. They've kindly squeezed in a chat with me today, halfway through rehearsals, to share their story on Out. What a treat. Welcome to the show, Jules.
Hi, Susie.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I love being upstairs. I mean, I've sort of just said this, but it felt very exciting to be in. I mean, it's very normal for you, isn't it, to be in the studio sort of doing stuff?
It's pretty normal, yes. Yeah. Like the most normal bit of my life.
Is that where you feel most like this makes sense?
I do. I think that in my head, I feel very chaotic most of the time. And like, I don't know what's going on, but somehow when I'm doing the dancing in the studio, I feel like my brain works really well.
Is it like there's like a peacefulness once you're...
Yeah.
Once there's like some music on? Or
I think it's not even the music. I think it's just like moving my body and like having that, I guess like having the physical practice feels like I can really be myself, or I know where I am, even though nobody knows where they are and what's going on. But I think it just gives me a bit of a grounding feeling, and somehow I feel like I've got like quite a lot of capacity that I don't have in the rest of my life.
Do you feel the same when there's an audience there? Does that change that feeling?
I think it maybe heightens that feeling, because I think that when you're performing in front of people, you have a sort of hyper awareness.
Yeah, for sure.
Where you feel like you know what's going on in you, and then you're like completely aware of everyone around you, and you're like noticing lots of things. So it's like a really diffuse sense of awareness that you can't really think about anything else. You can't get really anxious or...
No, yeah.
Because you're just in the awareness.
Yes. No, yeah. I totally relate to that. It's the same with stand-up.
Yeah.
When you are, when you're having a great gig, obviously when you're not, when it's not so much fun, you are thinking about other things.
Yeah.
Or you're like thinking about how you're going to diffuse, to use your word, the situation somehow.
Yeah.
But when you're having a really good show, it sort of just feels like you're, like, I can't think about anything else. I'm just like in this for a minute, which is actually really satisfying in the chaotic world that we live in.
Yeah. Do you think that's like the definition of like being in the moment? It's a bit cheesy, isn't it?
Yeah, no, but being in
the moment, but that's what the sense is.
Yeah, I think so. I find it very hard to be in the moment.
Yeah.
I find very, especially in my day-to-day life, I'm always like, bored about this, bored about that, bored about this. Probably something to worry about. I'm sure I can find something. But yeah, if something happens and you've just got to respond then, it does make you feel sort of hyper zoned in on what you're doing, which is actually, which I love.
Yeah.
I find that very sort of, I find it like a break sometimes being on stage. It's like, okay, I've just got to do my show. Great. Oh, brilliant. I haven't got to be traveling to a show. I haven't got to be in traffic. I haven't got to be like dealing with some person that I don't like or stress.
Yeah.
I can just, I've just got to do my stand up. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Same?
Yeah. No, you can just bypass a lot of things.
Yeah.
That are really confronting in the rest of your life.
Yeah. And just get sort of get on with, this is what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
So did you danced from, you were around six, did you start dancing?
Yeah, like doing, going to like after school.
Yes.
Ballet.
Tap ballet modern?
Tap ballet modern.
Classics. That's what I was doing too.
Yeah.
Probably not as well as you, but let's not get into that. So at what point did you sort of go, because you went sort of into a, you went to Central School of Ballet.
I did go to Central School of Ballet very briefly.
Right. So was there a point when you thought as a teen, like, oh, this could be a job?
Yeah, probably when I was about 13 or 14, I felt like this is what I want to do.
Right.
And it was quite clear. And then I think once I decided that, I was like, I don't care about anything else. I just want to do this. But I think also, you know, I didn't come from like a family of like people in the arts, and I didn't have access to like any kind of arts stuff.
Yeah, totally.
I grew up in St. Helens. And so I don't know how I could like imagine it, but I was like, I can imagine somehow a future doing this thing that feels good to me and like that I love it. And so I just sort of zoned in on it and was like, I'm going to do that.
I so relate to that because I feel like sometimes you meet people, don't you, different professions, but both in sort of, I don't know, broadly. I mean, I call myself a show off, broadly just being on stage and doing stuff creatively. But often when you meet people that have sort of come from occasionally quite a privileged background and maybe their family are sort of also in the arts, you sort of go, oh, you didn't have to have that thing that I had where I had to go, oh, is it a job? Is it a thing? Yeah. You sort of always knew it was a possibility. Whereas, same for me. I didn't realise that being, you get paid to be creative.
Yeah.
Didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And so what were you like as a young person other than doing ballet a lot?
I think I was quite weird and I was very shy and I don't think I had many friends really. Mm. And my parents got divorced when I was 11. And so, and I think at that time, like now it's more common that like families change. But at that time I just felt like I guess like a bit of shame or like fear of like telling people. And I think I just like stopped talking to people and I didn't really have any friends. And I was just like, I'm not telling anybody about anything about myself. And I got a bit sort of in myself, but just was like, I guess dancing was a bit of a lifesaver.
Yeah.
Because it was like a place where I didn't have to talk. I could just do the dancing.
And obviously you were good at it. And so I think being a young person, having something you're good at.
Yeah.
And not suggesting that you weren't good at school, but there was just something so freeing about being like, oh, I've got a thing.
Yeah, I think it was. It's just like, this is my thing. This feels like my safe place or a place where I can express myself. And I can't do that in any other part of my life. Yeah, I think that was also part of really getting into the dancing.
Mm.
Was also the change in my family and
like a shift.
Yeah,
which feels sort of cosmic size when you're that age.
Yeah.
Were you aware of your sort of identity or your? I don't actually know if you use any labels about yourself with regards to your sexuality. I know that identity and sexuality are two very different things, but. Yeah. Were you aware that you were maybe, the word that I like to use is I realised I was other, something other. Were you aware at that point, or maybe in those sort of first sort of teen years?
I think I wasn't like aware that I could be something other than what I was supposed to be, which I guess made me feel like there's something, definitely something wrong with me. It wasn't like, oh, I'm cool, I'm something other. It was like, something wrong with me. I don't fancy boys. I'm not really a good like girl. I'm not fitting anywhere. There's something wrong with me. I'm just going to hide myself, you know? And I think also in St. Helens, there was like, there wasn't any queer people.
Yeah.
There wasn't any like gay people that I knew. There was no like representation. So I think I just, because of that, got really, really hidden in myself and didn't even really think about it until I was like late teens.
Yeah. Because it was like, I'm just going to bury that.
Yeah. I thought like maybe I don't have a sexuality. That was sort of where I went with it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I just don't care about
that. People, I'm just really into dance. There's nothing else for me.
Basically, I'm just like really into dancing. I've not got time for anything else. Because I just didn't know how to even begin to think about it.
Yeah, that's so interesting because a few times on the podcast when I've spoken to people that are actors or singers or just sort of creative anyway, when their hobby has become their job, they've said similar things about sort of being like, well, I was just someone that did musical theatre. And so that was my thing.
Yeah.
And my thing wasn't having a boyfriend. And I definitely wasn't thinking about having a girlfriend. Yeah. It was just, I was someone that had hobbies.
Yeah.
And I think that comes up a lot for people that are queer and that are sort of searching for like a safe place to sit until you can deal with the other stuff.
Yeah.
That's how I felt anyway.
Yeah.
Did you move to London at 16?
I did move to London when I was 16. And I was at Central School of Ballet for a year. And then I sort of had I guess like the beginning of me having a bit of a breakdown.
Oh God.
And then, so I ended up moving home for a year. And then when I was 18, I moved back to London and I went to Rombo School.
Yes.
Which was like a very different ethos of a school. And
16's very young to be in London.
It's very young. And I just thought I was like, fine. I thought I'm like grown up. I can look after myself. I mean, I kind of been looking after myself anyway, but this was like a different level. And I just didn't have a clue. And I was like pretending that I knew what I was doing, you know, and it was just, and then also not having like money.
Yeah.
And trying to be live in London when you're 16. That doesn't really work. So,
no, it's really hard.
Yeah. So that was sort of a really difficult year. But then when I came back and went to Rombo School, that was like such a different experience. And
is Rombo like ballet and contemporary? Yeah. Is it like a sort of mix?
Yeah. So when I, it still is similarly, but when I was there, it was like, they describe it as like equally ballet and contemporary.
Right. Okay. So sure.
Like, there's like a strong classical training, but also like strong contemporary training.
Do you need to be able to do ballet to be a contemporary dancer? It's like some of the roots in ballet.
I mean, I think it's like a useful technique. I think it's a useful way to like understand your body and like organize your body.
Mm.
And then it can be used in other techniques or like ways of moving.
Yeah.
As like a basis. I don't think it's necessary, but I think it's really useful. I think it's really useful. Yeah.
And so I don't know what the contemporary world's like. I know a bit about the ballet world because I've got a couple of friends that are dancers. But is it... I mean, I feel like it must be sort of quite exhausting and cutthroat. Is that wrong? Is that right? Cutthroat's maybe not the right word. Exhausting and competitive?
Competitive, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think like, actually, my experience at Rombo School was very, like, was great. And I met loads of really great people. And it's like the first time I like really met gay people and like people from different countries. And
was that liberating to meet gay people? Were you like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I first got there, like, my best friend was, like, this gay guy. And we were just, like, hanging out all the time, and it was just really fun. And, like, I guess I just, like, learned a lot from other people.
Yeah.
But I think I still was very much, like, I don't know who I am, and I don't know how to think about who I am. It took me, like, a couple more years to, like, to open up a bit. But, yeah, I guess, like, when I left school, and you start to, like, have to go to auditions, and it's absolutely... vile.
Right.
And like, I feel like nobody really gets a job from an audition anyway. It's like, you know somebody, or you know, you've been invited because you know the director or you know the choreographer.
How's an audition work for a dancer? It's like a massive group thing, and they're literally like,
yeah,
you can stay, you can go.
Yeah,
like
so
in a chorus line.
Yeah, basically it's like you go it's like you do a dance class. I know, sweating, I'm like super sweating. You go and like you do, so if you did like a ballet class as an audition, like you would do like the bar, which is like the first 20 minutes, and then they'd be like, make a cut. Like, so you don't even get like into the, you just have to do the bar. And then so I did quite a lot of those, and then I was like, oh, why am I doing this? Like, why?
Yeah.
There's no point. They're just making myself feel terrible.
Yeah.
And
how much, I've seen some ballet stuff where it's sort of all male or all female, but is sort of traditional ballet very gendered?
Very.
As well?
Still so gendered.
Really? Yeah. So it's like you sort of need to obviously be able to dance beautifully, but also like you need to look exactly like they want someone in Swan Lake to look. Sorry to use the most obvious ballet in the world, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, the right height, the right like leg length, arm, like it's very like homogenous.
Yes.
So I think like when I was at Rombo School, I mean, when I got there, I was like really into ballet, and then by that time I left, I was like, I'm really into contemporary dance.
Right.
So it was like kind of a shift, because I think I just felt like, oh, there's more freedom to be myself, there's more space to like for difference,
yes,
and, like differences more celebrated,
yes.
And I still feel like that, although there is still a bit of tradition. And actually when I like the second job that I had, but like sort of first long-term job that I had, was in a modern dance company in New York.
Yeah, Merce Cunningham. Who's a contemporary dancer that I've actually heard of. So that's, I'm like, wow, fucking hell, I've heard of him. That's amazing.
But that was also like really traditionally gendered.
Right, really?
Like,
yeah.
Extremely.
Okay.
Yeah, there was just men and the women, and like the women do this. And I mean, he had very like set ideas about like how men dance and how women dance.
Right, okay.
Which was like okay when I got there. And then as I started to like think about who I am, I was like, I can't do this. I can't listen to this all day. And at the same time, I just felt like I couldn't express that. And yeah, no, there was no way to really say it.
Right.
So it started to really like affect me.
Yeah.
And be really uncomfortable.
Yeah, because it's being sort of genderqueer, I guess, is something that I've heard about for longer, but certainly the term non-binary, or having friends that are non-binary, I know that many of them have said to me, oh, finally, I've like found this, like, it felt like these words were like just not in anyone's vocabulary,
yeah,
15 years ago or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Or if they were like in a subsect of people that, you know, maybe you didn't hear about as much.
Yeah.
Whereas now there's sort of more language to support different identities.
Yeah.
Were you sort of searching for something that felt right?
Yeah. I think it took me a while though, because I think like it was a bit, I feel like it was a bit in stages in terms of like, I was trying to figure out my sexuality,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't even like consider gender identity.
Mm.
So the first stage of figuring out who I am was definitely about sexuality. And I think only when I moved to New York was like, I felt like I can explore it now. I can like figure out who I am. And it was still quite hard.
Was that because of the distance from home?
I think it probably was, but also it felt like New York, I can be like who I am.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And also there's something about being away where you're like, I'm kind of a different person here.
Yeah.
Like, I can kind of be that person that, because you know, if at home you start wearing like a hat, everyone's like, you're wearing a hat. But like, if you go to New York and you're like, oh, she's just that girl that wears hats. You're like, yeah, like you can sort of reinvent yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I used the hat analogy, but I think you got what I meant.
And I think just like culturally, it's such a different place.
Yes.
And there's not like, oh, why are you doing that? It's just like, yeah, you're doing that. That's great. Like,
yes.
Go for it kind of thing. So
American audiences seem to be far more like, good for you.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, I don't know about dance, but for comedy, it's certainly when you walk on stage sometimes, you can tell the audience are like, go on then.
Yeah.
Entertain us.
Okay.
Okay. This is not a great environment for me to be super funny. you were saying, so New York, you had the opportunity to sort of explore who you were a bit more.
Yeah. And I think like there were a couple of friends just saying like, I think I'm like gay. And they were like, awesome. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. And now like, I felt like I was like sort of coming into that and like feeling more open and like, that it was okay in myself as well.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
And then I think I was then feeling like, oh, but I'm a woman, and feeling like I'm not really like fitting into the woman thing. It's not working for me, but I'm like trying. And then I think just also meeting other people in New York, and then there's a really great LGBTQ community center in the West Village, which was like quite close to where I worked.
Right.
So I was like going there, and I found this group that was for people assigned female at birth who were like on a transition.
Sure.
So I started to go to that group because I was like, I want to figure out like what this is and to try and find words for it. So I met a lot of trans people through going to that group and hearing their stories. And then I was like, do I want to be a man? Do I want to, like, where am I, you know?
Yeah,
and then I think just through going to that and hearing people, I was like, okay, I don't want to be a man, but I'm not a woman.
Yeah.
And like, just like, and then finding like somewhere, okay, where am I? And there weren't many like what we would say non-binary people in that group, but I think it really helped me to just say, I think, and I used the term at that time, I feel like I'm genderqueer.
Mm.
And like, I don't want to use she pronouns.
Yeah.
Anymore. But there was not really also, like, nobody was really using they, them pronouns at that time.
Yes.
So I just, in a way, stopped using pronouns. And I was, just calling my name.
That works,
as much as possible. So with, like, my close friends, I was like, can you just call me my name? Not she.
Yeah.
So that was sort of the way I found into it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, it's about having, you know, different for me because, you know, with my sort of identity as a lesbian, there is something about sort of, you know, you sort of have to go through like your own journey of ownership before you can sort of tell other people how you want them to treat you or how you want to be referred to. For a long time, I used the word, I was like, I'm a gay woman. And then I realized it was probably because I had some internalized homophobia against the word lesbian.
Yeah.
And then I felt like I had to really make a change. And I was like, no, I am a lesbian. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But because it got shouted at me at school.
Yeah.
I have to like get over the fact that it was shouted at me because it is what I am. Like, you know, there was, but I think sometimes there's that sort of push and pull with language.
Yeah.
But that's such a great, I'm sure there'll be people listening that are thinking, I'm just going to tell people to call me by my name for a bit.
Yeah.
And that will make me, while I'm working this out.
Yeah.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
And when you sort of, I know that you then moved on to another sort of dance, like worked with another choreographer after that, but and now you create your own work. How much does gender have to do with the sort of work you're creating?
Well, I think at the beginning, I was like, at the beginning of making my own work, it was definitely like I've been in these situations where like it's been a really gendered, like fixed gendered situation, and I haven't really been able to be who I want to be and relate to the people I'm working with in the way that I want to. Mm-hmm. So I guess I started out thinking about like how can I create that way of relating to other people in a way that I want to, and like it feels good for all of us. Mm. It doesn't feel as hierarchical.
Yeah,
and I think then the first works that I made, I was thinking about like partnering and like the hierarchy of that, of like being lifted and like being passed around, like just being a body. Like,
because does it feel like that sometimes? Like, because there's a real, and I don't know whether it's more so as, whether someone that would be, you know, perceived traditionally as sort of like the female role, but it does often feel like it's like, and now I'm finished with you, and now I'll pick you up, and now I'm finished with you, and now I'll pick you up.
Yeah.
And that also, to me, I always found that was like really indicative of like the life of a dancer as well. Like you get to 35 or you get to, if you're lucky, and then it's like, yep, you're gonna have to move into teaching, you're gonna have to do something else because it's just about being this type of girl. Does it feel like that as a dancer?
It can do. I mean, I've not really felt the like you need to move on.
That was too direct.
Like, whoa.
Oh, sorry. No.
But I mean, there is that. I mean, when I was a young dancer, I was like, when I'm 35, I'm going to have to think about something
else. A new job,
But now I'm like 43 and like...
smashing it.
I'm like, I feel great. Like, I feel like in some ways better than I did in my 20s and 30s. So I guess I've not really felt like that, but it does. I have been in lots of situations as a dancer where you just feel like you're being passed around and like you're an object.
Yeah.
You know, which like feels horrible. And then it's also like so one way. And I think like in making my own work, I've been like, how can we share weight? How can I help you? How can you help me? Like, so that it feels really like more reciprocal, or
like a team.
Yeah. Rather than being an object.
Mm.
Like, I don't want anyone to feel like an object.
Yeah.
So I started sort of thinking about that. And then also thinking about like queer space, queer space and time, and like choreographically, like what that could be. Like not thinking always in
how did you begin? Like, how did you start? So when I was watching the rehearsal earlier, there's like a really... Are you calling it Nina because it's Nina Miss Simone singing?
Yeah.
Is that why you call that bit Nina? Okay.
Yeah.
So, because you're like, we'll do the Nina. And I was like, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. but it's this like pattern of walking.
Yeah.
And it's really beautiful to watch. It's sort of mesmerizing as you all sort of turn in place, and then one of you leaves it and then comes back. It's really like, yeah, sort of mesmerizing to watch, I felt. But as I was watching, I was thinking, where do you even, do you start with the music? Do you start with an idea? Do you start with one step and go, oh, that'd be good if you did sort of a box around?
Yeah. I think, I mean, actually that like box step that we were doing is the very first thing in the very first rehearsal with Mel and Harry when we met earlier this year. It was like, let's do the box step. And like, that was like where it started actually, with the box step. Because I was like, I was thinking about like how to like invite Melanie in.
Yes. You know? So we should be clear now. So Melanie C, also known as Mel C, also known as Sporty Spice, is in your company for this for this work.
Yeah.
Which is, it was really exciting.
It's very exciting.
It's very exciting. It's, yeah. I mean, there was part of me that was like, I'm in the room with the Spice Girl and I'm being totally chilled. I think she thinks I'm cool. But how did that even come about?
It was a bit like, I said something out loud that was like a bit of a fantasy of like, oh, that wouldn't it be so cool to work with? I mean, me and Harry were like fans of Mel. We've often talked about it over the years, like, oh, let's do like...
Because she's got a dance background. She grew up dancing. Yeah.
Yeah. She did like a very similar early dance training to me and Harry.
Right, okay.
So yeah, it was a bit of a, oh, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? And then I had a meeting here at Sadler's because I'm an associate artist here. And I met with the director and he was just asking me, so like, what are you working on or what are you thinking about? What do you want to make? And I was like, well, I have this idea about a piece with Mel C. And he was like, okay. Like, can you just explain a bit more? And I was like, I just thought it would be really great. And she's a really good dancer. And so he just saw him like write it down in his notepad, Melanie C, and he's like, okay, I'll see what I can do. And then I think he just got in touch like through Melanie's manager or like whatever. And then I think it was like 2 weeks later we met here.
That's so exciting.
It was very exciting and I was really nervous but like trying to be really cool.
Yeah, of course, that's all you can do.
And then we had a chat and it was really nice. And then we went to the studio for like the first time. We did the box step.
Yeah.
And then it's just all sort of unraveled from the box step to.
And so here. When you're choreographing, do you sort of spend time by yourself in the studio, sort of like just moving?
Yeah. So I think most, it's like 90% of the time, it's either in my head or on my own.
Right.
Of like making a whole work. Yeah, I would say it's 90%. And then the 10% is like working with everyone else.
Right. So do you have quite a clear... So when you go into rehearsals on the first day, do you have a picture then in your head of what it is?
Not at the first day. Because I think working with Melanie and Harry, I was like, I need to find a way that we can work together. That's not about me saying, right, well, this is what we're going to do and you have to fit into it. Mm. And it was... Because it was very much like inviting somebody in
who's
not like... trained in the way that I am.
Yes, of course, and not in the dance world per se. Yeah.
So I felt like I needed to try some things out and like notice what was happening and seeing what worked and what didn't work and like to make it feel like inclusive.
Yeah. You know?
So like we all feel included and like we're all in a place that we feel okay about. So it's been a bit of a process of that and then coming to like, okay, that's working. Let's work on more on that, see what happens.
Right. And do you have the music already? Did you already have, so that's like this beautiful Nina Simone song that's talking a lot about identity, actually. Yeah. I sort of noted as you were moving and dancing. And did you already know that that was going to be the piece of music you were going to use?
I think with that one, that was like super clear. I was like, I really want to dance this piece of music.
Right.
And that was quite central to this piece. But I think it was almost like if that was like the center that like dropped that in, it was like
the ricochets
what's gonna like be around that, like what's gonna come out of that.
And do you think, like, when you're sort of telling a story, so when you sort of were coming to think about, it's called How Did We Get Here, that's right, so when you were coming to think about How Did We Get Here, did you know what you wanted to share? Did you have like a Are these really, I don't know if these are really obvious questions to ask a dancer. It's okay. But did you sort of think, right, okay, I want to talk about this thing.
Yeah. I think it was like about a lot of things because it was like, also the title was quite like at the beginning. It was also like, oh my God, this is going to happen. Like, how did we get here? How did I get to this point? And also like, I'd been really unwell last year, and like right. It was also about getting back into dancing again and saying like, what is this point, and like, where is it taking me? And then how did we collide at this moment? So I think it was on like in a very like personal place. How did I get to this point? Also, how did we get here? What are we doing together? And then like in a bigger thing of like, how did we, like, what's going on in the world?
Yeah.
And then like on a very universal, like thinking about like movements of planets and stars and like, you know,
everything.
So it's sort of, yeah, going like in all the scales of why are we here and what are we doing? And the very much about us and like where we all are in our lives as well.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. Oh, I'm so excited. Now, thank you so much for like dipping out of a rehearsal to talk to me. It's been a real thrill to hear about your journey. Now, I ask the same question to everyone that comes on the end of the podcast. And it's sort of a version of sort of writing to your teenage self, or, but it doesn't have to be your teenage self really. It can be sort of any version of yourself. And some people don't like thinking about writing to themselves because they say, well, no, because that would change what happened. I don't want to change it.
Yeah.
So if you feel like that, maybe think about a person that's having maybe a similar experience to you. When I'm maybe thinking of the version of you when you first got to New York and you first had a gay friend or a queer friend. And you were first sort of, your eyes were first being opened up to this sort of new world for you. If you could reach out to you or to someone that's going through that right now and give them a bit of advice or just pop your arm around their shoulder, what would you say?
I would say, well, first of all, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And it's going to keep getting better. And also, it's really okay to be who you are. And like that's the absolute best thing that you can be, is to be exactly who you are. And it's okay not to fit, even though it's so painful at that time. You'll find a place. You'll find a place in the universe that's right for you.
Perfect. Thank you, Jules.
Thank you.
That was the brilliant Jules Cunningham. As I said, their new show, How Did We Get Here, is on at the Sadler's Wells Theatre from the 19th to the 29th of January. All details are at sadlerswells.com. Now there'll be a little break before my new series, Series 7. My goodness, 7 series. I was only meant to make one in lockdown when I had nothing to do, but here we are. I've already got some really exciting people that have said yes. Hopefully they'll continue to say yes because I haven't recorded the interviews yet. If you're listening to this between Christmas and New Year, I hope you had a lovely Christmas, and I wish you all the best for 2023. And yeah, there'll be a new series maybe around February. I'm going to do lots of recordings in January, but I'll be back soon. As you well know, or you might know, I am out on tour at the moment. Please come along to it. I'm having wonderful shows. The tour restarts in March. I've got to run it. The London Soho Theatre, and then I'm going all over the country. All details can be found at susieruffle.com, and I'll speak to you in a little while. Take care.